Here we go. Are we on? Oh, good. That'll get on the recording, that laugh. Okay, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 3. Of course, this is, we just celebrated Thanksgiving, which is really a terrific holiday because it doesn't have any pretense, or it shouldn't have any pretense. You know, it really has nothing to do with the Puritans and the Pilgrims and stuff, but goes back different places and times where people were thankful and they would do it. But then when we had our country established, George Washington in his first year as president made a declaration to have a holiday of Thanksgiving. And thank God for the opportunity to have a free country and all this other stuff. And it was really great. And we should be thankful. And the reason we should be thankful is because God is so good. The reason that we should do God's word and attempt to live for God is because God is so good. It says in Hebrews, it's impossible to please him except by believing. So we want to believe his word. We want to please him. That doesn't mean that you're a goody-goody or particularly religious in any way other than that you believe God. And when you believe God, you please God. So in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, is a tremendous verse. It says, now unto him referring to God, that is able. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know, that's an amazing, amazing statement about God. He is able to do exceeding abundantly. Not exceedingly, right? Exceedingly would be a lot, but exceeding meaning more than. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. What can you think? What can you ask? Lots of stuff, I'm sure. Some of it probably ridiculous and some of it good. You know, when you're really confronted with something vital in your life, sometimes some of the other things that you thought were important pale. You know, if you're faced with sickness, if you're faced with, you know, some crisis, some of the other things that we think are important aren't so important, right? But God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And, you know, sometimes God does things for us we don't even realize and we don't even know that we need or we don't even know that it needs to be taken care of until he does it and we go, oh, wow. It's a great thing because God is so good. Let's go to 1 John. This is really not about being thankful, but why we need to be thankful. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what?
Love.
God is love. And you know, many times people say, well, what about in the Old Testament when he was a God of wrath and all this other stuff? Well, if you really read carefully, he really was very loving in the Old Testament. Again, exceeding abundantly above all that man could ask or think because man deserved nothing. And God went way out of his way to preserve man and send a Savior and everything else. It says, and this was manifested the love of God toward us because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. You know, and you say, well, I am alive, but what is that talking about? It's talking about spirit life and eternal life. And he sent his only begotten Son. Nobody made him, did they? Nobody threatened God with a gun or a knife held to his throat and say, you need to send a Savior. Really, the first communication God has with man after the fall, you know, he says, you know, what were you doing? Why were you hiding? And he says, I was afraid. And then what does he do? He says, well, I'm going to send the Savior. And he addresses it to the serpent because he says, this is what's going to happen to you, brother. And, you know, once God made that declaration, that was it. The devil was defeated and man had a Savior coming and had something to hold on to. What a great God. God is love, and his love is manifested in that sending of his Son. So many different ways he could manifest his love, but the greatest of all was the sending of Jesus Christ. That was the greatest manifestation of God's love that he could possibly give us. You know, and what I really wanted to communicate today is when you think about God, when you, your relationship with God, what kind of relationship is it? What do you think about God when in your heart and mind? Do you think of a loving, kind, giving, caring God, or do you think of a strict, hard disciplinarian? I've thought many times and I've said, you know, God doesn't punish. Then I started looking at the word this week and I looked up the word punish and it's in the Bible, you know, I don't know, 20, 30 times. There's like four or five different Hebrew words. Most of them don't mean punish in the sense of what we would think of punish, but to restrain, hold back. Even one meaning is to fine, you know, like, you know, put a fine on something, you know, pay $10, get out of jail, whatever. But most of it's in the Old Testament. In one place in the Old Testament, in Nehemiah, he said, God punished us, but not nearly as much as we deserved. And it was Nehemiah saying it. It wasn't God saying it. And he said, and, you know, he didn't punish us as much as we deserve, but now he's delivered us out of bondage, you know, brought us out of captivity. And that's really what God is all about. It's not that he gives you what you do deserve, right? But he gives us what we don't deserve, you know, his grace and mercy. So let's come back to Ephesians chapter 2. Then in the New Testament, when it talks about punishment, it really talks about the end times and the judgment of those that don't believe. It's really the main thing where it talks about is, you know, people that have rejected God and rejected Jesus Christ, and they're going to be punished with the judgment and everlasting whatever. So it's pretty interesting. But really concerning us, the church, the born-again believed ones, it really doesn't talk about punishment. It talks about a loving God that wants to do his best for us and help us meet our needs, you know, keep us safe, watch over us. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 6, it says, and hath, referring to God, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us, through Christ Jesus. You know, that's what God's looking forward to, and that's what we should be looking forward to. You know, that he plans in the ages to come to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us. That's a mouthful. You know, I don't know that I fully comprehend or understand. I don't think anybody could. But, you know, it sounds great. I know what the individual words mean, and I know that it's going to be incredible when we get there. Right? That in the ages, meaning, you know, the eons, all eternity, he's going to show the exceeding riches, the exceedingly superabounding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are present tense, we are his workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. Yeah, means we conduct our life by walking in the good works. And the good works would be to do what God wants us to do, right? Doing his will, believing him, carrying out his will in our lives. Which, you know, takes all the pressure off because you don't have to figure it out. You just do what he would have you to do. You know, it's really a great way to live, to go around and just try to bless people and love people and get people to smile. And it's a great way to live. It's a great way to be. Let's go to Genesis. The scope of God's greatness and goodness to us really goes back to Genesis, right? And we talked about Genesis chapter 3, 15, but we're going to go to chapter 12 here. So I want to look at the blessings to Abraham, because that really has an effect on us, the blessings of Abraham, and how extensive. You know, it says that God accounted unto Abraham righteousness because he believed. Well, that righteousness was so far-reaching and so incredible that it still affects us today. It still affects us today. And so in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now, you know, if God told you to pack up and move, how would you react? can't you just bless me here? Why do I have to move? You know, why did God want him to do that? Well, I don't know. I mean, something better was going on, right? It says in another place, he wanted to get him away from his relatives who worshiped false gods, idols. That's why he got him away. So, but what does he say to thee? I will make thee a great nation. Okay, here's Abraham. He's an old man. He's got an old wife. And they don't have any kids. And nation means really, you know, his progeny. What would come from his reproduction, right? He says, I will make thee a great nation, not just a nation, not just a family. Oh, you're going to have a great family, but a great nation. And I was thinking, you know, families disappear sometimes. You know, they just disappear. Some prosper and get gigantic, others disappear. Sometimes they're gigantic and then they disappear, don't they? You know, it just, whatever happens. But here, God says to Abraham, I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Wow. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You know, you can go through the Old Testament, and you can actually see these promises to Abraham come to pass in different ways. When people were kind to Abraham, they got blessed. And when they weren't kind to Abraham, they got cursed. You know, and Abraham just kept going along and everything worked out for him. But, you know, and then later on to his children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren, this also was true, these promises. Verse 4, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So that's pretty amazing. Let's go to chapter 22. So what did Abraham do? He packed up and left, didn't he? He believed God. He did what God told him to do, believing that God would do what God said he would do. Chapter 22 of Genesis, verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, said the Lord. Okay, so it says and the angel of the Lord called out of heaven, and it's like God's talking to him. Why? Because the angel is delivering the message from God, right? Okay. So it's as though God himself were speaking to Abraham. And he said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son." Okay, this is where he took Isaac to sacrifice. And if you go back and read the beginning of the chapter, he took him out into a place. And then he had some servants. He said, "You guys stay here. We're going to go sacrifice to God." And he gets the wood together. And then what? He says, "Okay, Isaac, climb up on the wood." You know, Isaac wasn't a little boy at this point. He's a grown man. And he didn't fight with his father. He didn't dispute. He just did it. And Abraham's how old at this point? Well, he's well into his hundreds. So I don't think that he could have fought with him even if he wanted to. But then what does God say? "I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." And you know, that's the promise there of the Messiah. "Because in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." You know, and did God keep that promise? Yeah, he sure did. Let's go to chapter 24. In verse 1 it says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all" what? "In all things." In all things he had blessed him. I don't know exactly what all things are, except I know he had lots of cattle and lots of sheep. He had servants. He had Isaac, and then Isaac had Esau and Jacob, and so on and so forth. But he blessed them in all things. Let's go down to verse 35. Now, this is where he sent his servant to get a wife for Isaac. And God told Abraham he didn't want him to marry the daughters of Canaan. So he sent him back to Laban, who was his nephew, and to get a wife for his son Isaac. So verse 35, "And the Lord hath blessed my master." This is his servant speaking. "The Lord hath blessed my master." How much?
Greatly.
He didn't just bless him. He blessed him greatly. "And he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath." God bless you. So now it says that he gave Isaac everything that God has blessed him with, right? He's the heir. See, so he really blessed them. Let's go to chapter 26. Verse 26, verse 1, "And there was a famine in the land." So now this is after Abraham died, and God is speaking about Isaac. "And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar." Now, that's one of those guys, and I'm not sure if this is the same Abimelech. It could be, or it could be that it was a title or whatever. You never know with these things. But, you know, the first time that Abraham went to Abimelech, what happened? Abimelech took Sarah, and so then God said to Abimelech, "You've taken that man's wife." And Abimelech said, "Oh, I didn't know it was his wife. I thought it was his sister." And so then he said, "Well, go to Abraham and have him pray and he'll heal thee," because he had afflicted him. But he didn't just afflict Abimelech. He closed all the wombs of all the families, all the women of his kingdom. Well, how would that affect them? and wipe them out, right? They'd be gone. See? So there's that, you know, that blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. So he cursed them, and then he came to Abraham. He said, he's sorry. He said, please pray for me. So Abraham prayed for him. And this is the first instance recorded in God's word where somebody prayed for somebody else and they got healed. So he blessed them because he was good to Abraham. And he said, you go and you can, you know, live here freely and your herds can graze and nobody will bother you in our kingdom. So then there was a second famine, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. So what's he telling Isaac? I'd do everything for you that I did for your father. Pretty great. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Now, was there a written law? No. This is hundreds of years before the written law. So what did Abraham have? Well, he had what God told him. You know, he had what God told him. He knew what God had set out for him to do, what was right and what was wrong. He didn't have the details of the Mosaic law, but he knew that God was the true God. He knew to worship God. He offered sacrifices to God and all those things. So it says that Abraham obeyed, and because he obeyed, he got blessed. You see? He got blessed because he obeyed. Now, how simple is obeying? It's not that hard. You know, back in that verse in Hebrews where it says it's impossible to please God except by believing, then it says God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know? So, I guess Abraham was one of those guys that believed God, because it says that, and he diligently sought God, didn't he? He just wanted to always do what God wanted him to do. Okay, let's go to Galatians chapter 3. So how does that promise and how do those blessings that Abraham got, how do they affect us? Well, we're the nations of the earth, right? We got blessed by the Messiah. We had the opportunity to believe. Chapter 3 of Galatians, verse 6, it says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith or of believing the same are the children of Abraham. Now, if you go back in the Old Testament and you read about Isaac and you read about Jacob and all those guys, you know what it says? It says they were blessed for Abraham's sake. They were blessed for Abraham's sake because God made the promise to Abraham. He blessed them because he promised Abraham that. But then they also believed and God would confirm the blessings to them, the promises to them. And here it says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith or believing, the same are the children of Abraham. Now, are we in the bloodline of Abraham? No. Well, we might be or might not be. Who knows? Nobody knows. But you are in the line of believing. And once you are born again, you're in that line of believing. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through the faith or believing, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. He preached unto him what? The gospel, the good news. What's the good news? The Messiah, right? So then they which be of faith or believing are blessed with who? Faithful Abraham. That's great, isn't it? As we believe, we are blessed with faithful Abraham. You know, man can only do so much. He can only give from what he has. He can only do within his capabilities. He can only love as much as he's able to love in the physical realm or the, you know, mentally, and that love is imperfect. But God's love is unlimited. It's just unlimited, right? God is infinite. His love is infinite. His ability to deliver is endless. You know, he can deliver out of any situation, any circumstance, no matter what you're in. And his ability to give has no bounds. He gives exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And we're blessed with faithful Abraham as we believe. Because we've believed, and we've believed in his son, Jesus Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. So we get all this stuff showered upon us because we believe. You know, you think about all the things that mankind has devised, all the religions that he has invented. And I use that word, you know, for what it means, invented, because that's mostly what man has done. He's invented, he's made up religions to try to please God and try to get the blessings of God. And you know, so he goes through all these crazy things, you know, pilgrimages and religious holidays and rituals and ceremonies and on and on and on and on and on. And all God asks is that we believe. How incredible. And then when you believe, what do you get? You get blessed. Chapter 8, verse 31, it says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Wow, isn't that great? If God be, you know, what did he say to Abraham? Blessing, I will bless you. Those that bless you, I will bless. Those that curse you, I will curse. But you'll be blessed, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed because of you. You know? So what does it say here? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, it's similar to the blessing of Abraham, isn't it? You know? Nobody can stand up against us. He said, nobody will be able to stand against you, Abraham, right? He made that promise to Moses. He made that promise to Joshua. He makes that promise to us. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth or make righteous. I got a spider coming right down in front of me.
Wow.
That was cool. Okay. See, I was more than a conqueror there. Okay, Ephesians. It's a good thing Stella wasn't here too. She would have gone, ah! Chapter 1 of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. How does that match up to Abraham's blessings? Better. Better. All spiritual blessings. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. Before him in love, having predestinated us unto the sonship of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You know, we have all spiritual blessings. You know, we're blessed. You know, think about how God took care of Abraham, how he blessed him, how he blessed those that blessed him, how he cursed them that cursed him. Well, is God able to do as much for us? Absolutely. He's able to do as much and more. He does exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Well, I can read the promises to Abraham, so I can think that. I could ask that, but God is able to do more than that. Amazing. Let's go to Lamentations. look at a few things in the Old Testament, just, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Just to see the goodness of God, even in the Old Testament, and how they spoke about God. Lamentations, chapter 3. Chapter 3, and verse 22. This is a great song. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Isn't that great? The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. There's a lot of verses that talks about seeking God, but in every case where it says those that seek God, he blesses, he rewards, he takes care of. Let's go to Psalm 86. Psalm 86 and verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. God is full of what?
Compassion.
He's full. And gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and in truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thy handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because thou, Lord, hast holpen me, which means helped me, and comforted me. What a great God. Let's go to Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse 4. Well, let's do verse 3. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. Verity means truth, right? All his commandments are what?
Sure.
It means they're reliable. You can count on them. You can trust them. What a great thing. And let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, I'm sure you're familiar with at least some of it. But I thought we'd close here because it's such a great psalm. And it just shows the greatness, the goodness of God and how wonderful he is. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Which means praise the Lord, O my soul. I mean, I want my life to be a praise to God. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, are you going to remember all his benefits? Maybe not, but don't forget them all. Remember some of them. Try not to forget them. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. This is written in the Old Testament, but it says he forgives all iniquities and heals all diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. And sometimes we're hell-bent on destruction. people just, we do stupid things and sometimes we are self-destructive. And, you just got to stick with what God says. You just got to pay attention and look to him. who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That doesn't sound like a wrathful God or a hateful God or a punishing God. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He takes care of us. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Well, he certainly did, didn't he? He showed them what a loving and kind and caring God he was. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide. I looked that up and I forgot what it meant.
Accuse.
Okay. Neither will he keep his anger forever. It means, you know, he doesn't stay angry. He gives it up. He gets over it. And if you read in the Exodus, how many times did he get over his anger? How many times did he give it up? How many times did he just say, okay, and moved on? He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Well, if he did that, he would have never sent the Savior, would he? So he didn't deal with us after our sins or rewarded us according to our iniquities. Rather, he rewarded us and helped us according to his love and his gracious grace and mercy. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Well, it's even greater for us, isn't it? Because he's not only removed them, he's wiped them away. You know, in the Old Testament, he moved them as far as the east is from the west, which is as far as it can go. But for us, he did more than remove them. He wiped them clean. He got rid of them. He obliterated them. Like as a father pitieth or loveth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. For as a man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. And you know, that's what he said to Abraham. He said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your children. I'm going to bless your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. And I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth. And you know, at the day of judgment or the resurrection of the just or whatever, however it's going to work, we're going to see Abraham again. You know, he's for everlasting to everlasting. Means, you know, in the end, in eternal life, he's going to be there forever and his mercy is going to still be upon us, blessing us, taking care of us. To such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his saints, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, I praised God with all my life. And why do we want to praise God with all our life? Because he's such a good, loving, compassionate, caring God. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. He's given us things and blessed us with things we don't even know about yet. And it's going to go on forever and ever. So, amen and amen.